This morning's scripture is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through chapter 13, verse 2, from the New Revised Standard Version. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth about a penny. Then he called his disciples and he said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." And as some spoke at the temple how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he said, "As for these things which we see, the days will come when there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." This is the word.
Please pray with me. Holy God, we want to see what you see. In this moment, we ask that you would clear the roadblocks that keep us from you. Blow the dust out of our ears. Thaw the frozen parts of our hearts. Breathe fresh air into our lungs and fill our minds with endless possibilities. We want to see what you see and reimagine this life we're living. Amen. You're probably thinking, yes, stewardship. We're going to hear this story and Jesus is going to tell us to be like the poor widow and just give our last $2 away to Glenshaw Valley. I'm going to ask you to bear with me this morning because this passage also has an entirely different side to it, and one that might challenge you to reimagine what Jesus was doing and saying. So here, Jesus is telling the disciples to beware of the scribes. Jesus isn't talking about all religious leaders. He's making a statement about these scribes. There are some scribes that are employed by wealthy aristocratic's patrons. And these types of scribes were much more interested in pleasing their benefactors than speaking and acting out God's truth. These were the ones who were being invited to these opulent banquets and wearing fashionable clothes, and they were much more interested in that than being with regular folks. And Jesus ends his description of these affluent scribes by stating that they devour widows' houses for the sake of appearance. And again, Jesus is not condemning all scribes and religious leaders, but there are enough of them who aren't just unconcerned about the struggles of everyday people, but are actively taking advantage of the vulnerable in order to obtain more wealth and power, prestige. And Jesus really feels the need to warn us about that. So right after he's, you know, talking about these folks that are, you know, just doing things for appearance, he sits down, makes himself comfortable. He's going to do a little people watching. It's one of my favorite activities, actually. And as he's sitting there across the way, he sees the treasury. It's not a building. It's like a box, really. And it's this box where people placed their temple taxes and their offerings things like that. And Jesus sees all sorts of really wealthy people drop in large sums of money. These are people who have plenty of expendable income, so putting in $500, $1,000, $30,000, it doesn't really hurt them a whole lot. Anything that they drop in, it's just their extras. Like, these are people that have roofs over their heads, they've got full bellies, warm and dry clothes, and some of them have enough to purchase a rocket and take a trip out to space, or purchase their fourth yacht. Whatever they're dropping into the bucket, into the collection basket, it doesn't really affect their day-to-day lives at all. And then Jesus spots a widow. Her clothes are worn. Her sandals are in disrepair. Maybe her hair is a little unkempt. She's thin from missing a few meals. And you can just see the hardship just drawn all over her face. She digs deep into her purse. And finally, amongst the gum wrappers, she finds a couple of coins. She sighs deeply as she considers what to do with her limited funds. Should she use them to purchase some flour and oil? Maybe she can have another meal. Maybe she could buy some wool and maybe make her own wool blanket. It might be enough to fix her shoes, but rent will be due next week. It doesn't really matter, though. This won't be enough to satisfy the landlord. So the woman knows she has an obligation to pay her temple taxes, and she doesn't want to anger God, or worse, the religious leaders. So she takes these coins that she's clutching, and she drops the ridiculously meager amount into the box. And Jesus can't help but to point out to the disciples that those coins don't make that satisfying clink as they do in a box, because there's all of these wads of paper money that soften the blow. They mute the widow's contribution, even though what she put in was everything that she had. I cannot count the number of sermons that I have heard or read that point to this woman as an example for all of us, because she gave up necessities in order to finance the institutional church. But you know what I don't read here? I don't see Jesus commending this woman for her willingness to give up everything to God. I see him commenting on the social conditions that have created her poverty. By giving to the treasury, the rich were fulfilling their responsibilities so that the widow didn't have to. Actually, widows weren't required to give to the temple. Widows and the continually dispossessed, they were cared for through the safety nets that were created by and through the treasury. But those systems weren't working. They needed reimagining. The widow gives all that she has in an effort to be faithful, and the system fails her. This story of the widow reminds me of the orphan crushing machine. It's a phenomenon on the internet. It's a metaphor. It's not a real, actual orphan crushing machine. Don't worry. We see these heartwarming news stories about someone taking care of the immediate effects of some sort of issue, while at the same time ignoring the root cause of that issue. It started with a post on Twitter that says, "Every heartwarming human interest story in America is like, he raised $200,000 to keep 200 orphans from being crushed in the orphan crushing machine, and then never asks why an orphan crushing machine exists or why you'd need to prevent it from being used." Every time I hear this metaphor, or ever since I first heard of this metaphor, I see it like everywhere that I look. There are so many good feeling stories about community benefits that raise hundreds of thousands of dollars to pay for someone's cancer treatment. Makes us feel good, right? But in those stories, there's no discussion of why that treatment is so prohibitively expensive in the first place. Recently, I saw a video of a school safety training. Teachers were learning how to use chairs, classroom chairs, to lock the door to prevent a shooter from coming in to kill the children. And there were all sorts of comments about how important this information is and how many lives it could save. But there wasn't a whole lot of conversation about why someone would need to know how to make a door impenetrable in the first place. You know, because of the very real threat of an active shooter in a school, or how easily accessible firearms are. I also think about our congregation and our community. We here at Glenshaw Valley, we have collected money and food for the Aetna Food Bank. The most recent information I could find for the Aetna Food Pantry shows that they served over 2,500 people, including 242 veterans, 530 disabled people, 740 senior citizens. Obviously, this is a very worthwhile organization. It provides basic needs for people in our community right here, and we should be proud to support them with what we can. We really should. We also have government benefits. There's SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Plan, food stamps. Those are available to help feed those in poverty. In 2022, 4.1 million people in the U.S. were on SNAP. 43% of those were children. Between 14 and 16% of all Pennsylvanians receive SNAP benefits. So we've got these programs that are feeding people, right? So why hasn't hunger been eliminated? Why are there still hungry people? Why are we still celebrating saving orphans from the orphan crushing machine? Well, it's because the causes of hunger are much, much deeper than the immediate need that we're attempting to address. Poverty, climate change, war, unstable markets, job instability, low wages, race and gender inequality, all of those things contribute to hunger right here and across the globe. So I participate with organizations like bread for the world. Bread for the World does some advocacy work. They advocate for school lunch and breakfast programs, WIC, the child tax credit. We work together and we write and visit with legislators about these issues of poverty, and we urge our representatives to support just policies. Right now, Bread for the World is working on support for the passage of a Fair Farm Bill to build healthy, equitable, and sustainable food systems here in the United States. But not just in the U.S., but throughout the world, Bread for the World is working to dismantle the orphan-crushing machines. And I will be talking more about these efforts in the future, and I will be providing you opportunities to get involved as well. Don't worry, it won't take a lot of time. I'll even have pre-written letters for you. I want to make sure that I'm being very clear here. Food banks and other organizations that directly serve people in need are not bad. Donating to these people are very much needed. The orphan crushing machines still exist, and there are still people in danger of being crushed. And if we can help save them, that immediate need, yes, let's do that in light of all of this. As you continue to pray and discern your pledges this stewardship season, I want you to consider your economic position. If you are in a precarious situation, if you are finding it difficult to keep food on your table, your house warm, or your lights on, do not give to this church or any other organization. Don't give us your last two coins. There are plenty of other ways to be faithful to God and to participate in the life of this church and community that does not involve becoming destitute. This morning, I'm asking you to reimagine the way this scripture has been used in the past. To reimagine a world where our social and economic systems are not built to disparage and to impoverish, to provide for and benefit everyone. To reimagine what it means to engage financially with Glenshaw Valley in a more personal way. To reimagine a relationship with money where it's used to repair rather than provide security and stability to institutions. Amen? Amen.